My Peace, a Pentecost sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
It will look like suffering, like death, like the worst thing that could ever happen. But Jesus assures them, it is my peace, and I give it to you.
And for any size donation during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the first Pentecost. You can make a special Easter gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for keeping us in mind during the 50 days of Easter.
I just want to acknowledge a God not just of second chances, but third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth chances, because that is the reality of our shared humanity.
I'm a Christian. I don't agree with homosexuality. I think it's a sin, as I think all sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman is.
What essential difference is there between those humans that Gosnell killed after birth and those he killed before?
On-demand listeners of Issues Etc. love hearing sound theology while walking the dog.
I wonder what most people think when they hear the word baptism. It's not an uncommon word. It's not an unheard of word. I imagine most people could come up with some kind of workable definition for the term. But would it bear any resemblance to the term as the Bible uses it, as Jesus institutes the gift of baptism when he commands his disciples to go and make disciples by baptizing and teaching? What is he commanding them to do? What has he instituted? What is the gift that he has given not only to the church, but through the church to the entire world? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, May the 8th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be getting a four-part series on baptism today. What is it? What is the gift of baptism? Pastor Charles Lehman will be our guest a little bit later in hour two of Issues Etc. Our pastor's roundtable this week will be looking at John chapter 15. A few verses there where Jesus talks about persecution. He tells his disciples, "Now, I haven't really warned you about this before because I was with you, but now you need to know that it's going to be very bad. They're going to put you out of the synagogues, and the people who do you harm, people who kill you, will believe that they are doing a service for God." Why is that? We'll answer that question with our pastor's roundtable at hour two of Issues Etc. Pastor Ryan Fairman, Pastor Kirk Clayton will be with us. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. You can leave a question or comment for our pastor's roundtable in hour two of the program at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Charles Lehman is a regular guest. He's pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Three Forks, Montana, and Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Belgrade, Montana. He's author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. Charles, welcome back.
Great to be on.
Why is it important that we talk about baptism as a gift, first and foremost?
Well, the answer to that question is kind of like the question that you ask in your sermon diagnostic about who's running the verbs. If Jesus is doing something in a sermon, then is he the one doing it, or is it something that we're doing for him in baptism? If baptism is not a gift, then God is not doing it. And if God is not doing it, then we are doing it. And if we are doing it, then every statement that you make about baptism ends up having a question mark at the end of it.
What do most people, in your estimation, what do most people think of when they hear the word baptism?
It's kind of a hard question to say when it comes to most people. I would say within the church you have kind of two large schools of thought. You have the more historic view, which is that baptism is the way in which a person becomes a part of the Christian church. It is something that God does for the person. They are washed, their sins are forgiven, They become a child of God. I think that those basic statements would be agreed on by nearly every Christian that practices infant baptism. And then the other school of thought would be baptism is an act of obedience that a Christian does to show that they want to be a Christian and that they want to be obedient to all of God's laws. And the command to baptize is simply, you know, numbered among all of those Christian obligations that you take on once you come to faith in Christ.
Which of those two views is the biblical view, and where would you find it primarily in Scripture?
Well, the biblical view is that baptism is something that God does and that is received. And because God does it, it is always sure and it is always certain. You can count on it. I just preached this past Sunday that God could easier snuff out the galaxies, wipe out the planets, undo the very foundations of creation than he could take back the promises that he makes to us in baptism. And the most important passage for understanding baptism is the passage in which our Lord institutes it. And that's Matthew 18:16 or so to 20, the passage that most Christians know as the Great Commission.
That's true that most know it as the Great Commission. They think about it as kind of a big evangelism passage. Why do you say it ought to be regarded as the institution of baptism?
Well, because the command that Jesus actually gives there is make disciples of all nations, and then after he says, make disciples of all nations, we get two participles, and those participles are modifying that verb to make disciples. So with those participles, Jesus is telling us how the disciples are made. And the two participles are baptizing and teaching. And so this is the place where our Lord gives baptism as a gift to the church and commands that his disciples baptize all nations. And by the fact that baptizing is modifying that verb make disciples, we learn that baptism is a means by which disciples are made. And a disciple is nothing less, nothing more than one who has faith in Christ as their Savior. So in baptism, we receive the gift of faith in Christ and become children of God and heirs of eternal life.
Some might be less than familiar with the concept of Christ instituting baptism. What do we mean when we say that he institutes baptism?
That's just a fancy word for saying that this is when he establishes baptism as something that the church does. It's kind of like, you know, we always, you know, in our history books learn about July 4th, 1776 being the day that the United States was born, because that's when the Declaration of Independence was signed. And so you could almost say that the Declaration of Independence marks the institution of the United States in some way. Well, Matthew 28:18 through 20 is that particular moment when Jesus says, this is what baptism is, this is who it's for, and I want you to do it for all people.
What does the word baptism or baptize itself mean?
To baptize means something like to wash or to give a bath. And so I think sometimes we get hung up on the word baptize, and so you might talk to some Christians, and they'll say, well, you know, the word baptize, it only shows up maybe a couple dozen places in the Bible, and so I read all those passages, and I don't see any of the stuff that you say about baptism in those passages, so I think you're just making it all up. Well, the thing that is being forgotten when we approach the Bible in that way is that the Bible will sometimes express the same idea using a number of different words. Baptize is a word for washing with water, and the Lord uses it in a number of different ways. But when we're talking about the gift of baptism, sometimes if you're reading in the New Testament, you'll see it, you know, referred to, you know, in a number of different ways, like a washing of regeneration or being born of water in the Spirit. There's lots of different imagery that the Bible uses. The word baptized simply is a transliteration into English of the primary Greek word that is used to describe it. In fact, the word that Jesus uses in Matthew 28:19.
Does the fact that the word baptism means to give a bath, does it necessarily imply that a bath is needed on the part of those who receive baptism? About a minute before our break.
No, not really. Some have argued that the word, the Greek word baptize, means to immerse in water. And we really can't support that from the biblical text. There's a wonderful passage in Mark where Jesus is just kind of describing what the Pharisees do. They wash their hands and they wash their furniture and they wash all this stuff before each meal. And the word that Jesus uses there is baptize. They baptize all this stuff. And no ordinary Jewish person would have had the wherewithal to dip a dining couch in water before each meal. So clearly the quantity of water is not important.
Pastor Charles Lehman is our guest. When we come back, we'll continue our first part of our four-part series with him on holy baptism.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org. Shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub, your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30. And find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
first stanza of the baptism hymn, See This Wonder in the Making. A special thanks to Pastor Jeff Boyle and the saints at Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran in Wichita, Kansas. They're some of the newest members of the Issues Etc. 300. That's a group of congregations that support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to the tune of $1,000 or more in their mission or advertising budget. It is a growing group, but we could always have more congregations join the Issues Etc. 300. This is a great time for you to consider it and for your congregation to be asked. That means you ask your congregation, because many congregations are planning for a new fiscal year beginning at the very 1st of July. Right now, they're writing their budget. They're deciding on budgetary matters, and right now is a great time to ask your congregation to join the Issues Etc. 300. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and under the support page, you'll find a one-page flyer that you can download and print off. It'll tell you and your congregation everything you need to know about joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're talking about baptism, beginning a four-part weekly series on baptism with Pastor Charles Lehman, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. Now, I take a bath or a shower when I need one, when I'm dirty. Is that part of, is that helpful in understanding what baptism is for, Pastor Lehman?
There's a strong similarity and a pretty significant difference between the kind of bath that you or I take every day and the bath that we receive in baptism. There's a famous saying that Queen Elizabeth I used to claim that she took a bath every year, whether she needed one or not. And the funny thing about that is that's closer to the truth when it comes to baptism. Baptism is a bath that we need because we are dirty, because we are completely soiled with sin, and we need to have that sin washed away. And so baptism does that. In baptism, God washes away all of our sin, and he does it forever. And you only need to be baptized once in order to have all that sin washed away. Now, of course, we're going to sin again and again and again after we're baptized. But the promises that God makes to us in baptism, that we are holy and pure and that our sins are washed away, those promises count for the sins we commit before baptism, during baptism, and after baptism. They count for our whole life. This is why Luther said that a Christian has enough in baptism to rejoice about for their entire life. Baptism is as if, you know, you took a shower one morning and you never needed to do it ever again.
Now, that kind of takes us back to the kind of the principle that you established at the beginning, and that is, if baptism is what we do, then we would need to be baptized again and again and again, if that's what it really mm-hmm. was about. But if baptism is what God does, then what you say is true. He does it, and it's done. And it's good
right.
for life.
Yeah, exactly right. It's a really... as I've talked to people about baptism over the years, I've found that the two questions that people usually have about baptism is who it's for and what the person being baptized does. And the answer to the first question is everybody, and the answer to the second question is nothing. And the only way that those answers can make sense is if God is the one who's doing it. If we're doing it, then who knows whether or not it's going to work for somebody who was born 2 minutes ago. If we're doing it, then who knows whether or not it's going to last more than the amount of time that it takes for the water to evaporate afterward. If we're the ones doing it, then there's no certainty of any kind in the baptism, and we have to, you know, constantly be asking ourselves these sorts of questions. But if God does it, then it's sure and certain because God is sure and certain. And so that makes baptism into something that grants us great comfort.
Is that what you meant before when you said if baptism is our work, then it leaves a question mark at the end of everything?
Yes, that's exactly what I meant, because I'm a fickle and sinful human being, and if baptism depends on what I have done, what I thought, what I believe, then, you know, who knows if it's going to do me any good at all. I was baptized when I was about 5 weeks old. I don't remember any of it. I only know that it happened because I've got my baptismal certificate and my parents have told me about it. But I have no experience of it. I don't remember doing anything. And so if it depends on me, then I got nothing to hold on to.
So let's talk a bit about how filthy our dirty situation is prior to baptism. You know, I can get dirty, but that's all just surface stuff. I even might get you know, kind of indelibly dirty. I might write on myself with one of those Sharpie markers. Sooner or later, it wears off. It really does. Talk about the depth of the dirtiness that is our inborn sin.
I think probably the only image that I have been able to think of that really gets at how bad it is for us is the picture of gangrene, you know, where it's this infection that can get even down into the bone and inside the bone. And if a person has gangrene, then it affects absolutely every part of their body if it isn't dealt with immediately. And so our spiritual situation is that from the moment that we are conceived, it's as if our entire body is infected with gangrene, and, you know, we're literally walking dead. There is absolutely nothing that we can do to deal with that filth that completely pervades us. Maybe the biblical analogy would be leprosy. You know, the way that leprosy was viewed in the ancient world is a pretty good analogy for how deeply sin infects us from the moment of our conception.
Now, if we think about sin as just something that sticks to the outside that can be easily brushed off, that does not go all the way in, and I think that's how a lot of Christians think about it. They think is sin is kind of like the dirt that accumulates on you over the course of the week rather than something that's kind of generated from within. Does that change our view of what baptism does as well?
Yeah, it does. I have a recent convert to Lutheranism at one of my congregations, wonderful, wonderful man. And in his former life, he was a missionary in Africa for a little while, and he was at this orphanage. And first thing that happened when he got there was that all of these little kids decided that they wanted to accept Jesus into their heart and they wanted to be baptized. And so he baptized like 40 kids that day. Later on, he found out that that was probably the 20th or 30th time that they'd been baptized, because every time, you know, the white guy came, everybody had a conversion and wanted to be baptized because this was a good way to give him a good show that he could tell people about back home, and then, you know, they'd get more money for the orphanage. So what these kids had been taught, I mean, no fault of their own, what these kids had been taught was that baptism is, you know, good for a little while, you know. You know, it'll forgive the sins that you committed recently, and you know, then when you feel like you're especially sinful again, you can go and get baptized again, and it'll take care of, you know, whatever happened recently. But that's not the way that the scriptures talk about baptism. Baptism brings us from death to life. It's no matter of simple healing. What baptism gives is resurrection. And this is why when St. Paul talks about baptism in Romans 6, he ties it directly to the Lord's death and resurrection. He says, baptism, in baptism we die with Christ, and in baptism we are raised with Christ. And so we're not talking sickness healing, we're talking death and life.
With only about a minute here, Charles, it's not just water washing, but it's also washing of water. I think you even referenced the passage before, a regeneration, a washing of water with the Word. Why is the Word all important? Does not exclude water, but it is all important in this. About a minute.
The reason why the Word is so important is because the Word combined with the water is what changes it from just normal water getting poured or sprinkled or whatever on the person. It changes that into a water that actually is filled with all of the promises that God attaches to baptism. And the Word of God that is attached to the water in baptism is actually God's name. So it's as if the water's poured on the person and God's name is there on the person's forehead after they are baptized.
Pastor Charles Lehman is our guest. We're talking about baptism. We'll be right back on this Wednesday afternoon, May the 8th. Stay tuned.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a recording of an Ascension and Pentecost sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, May 19th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Ascension and Pentecost sermons. Now, when you make your gift, please indicate whether you want a downloadable version or a CD of these sermons. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the Easter season.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Is baptism a mere symbol of rebirth? Is it a prize for attaining a certain amount of faith? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. It's written by regular guest Pastor Charles Lehman. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Happens as the door to heaven opens and the Father
See This Wonder in the Making stanza too. We're talking about baptism, beginning a four-part weekly series with Pastor Charles Lehman on the subject of baptism. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. You can join us with questions or comments as we begin this series, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at IssuesETC. Listening in Michigan, here is Chris. Thanks for waiting, Chris.
Yeah, I have a friend at the church I used to attend, and I posted a thing on infant baptism where it showed a baby being baptized, and he attacked me for infant baptism. And then the question I asked him after that, he didn't give me an adequate answer, is, and how many times have the people at your church been baptized?
Chris, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Michigan. What are your thoughts on that, Pastor Lehman?
I'm not quite sure I got all the details of that. Was his friend asking how many times the people at his church had been baptized?
I think he was asking his friend that was critical of infant baptism, and he said he didn't get an adequate response to, you know, how often one would be baptized in a church that rejects infant baptism. I mean, I know from experience with family members who've held a lower view of infant baptism that they often get baptized several times throughout their life for whatever reason.
Yeah, I think that what can often happen in a church where they don't take the biblical view of baptism is because of the uncertainty that you have to have about baptism if God is not the one doing it, it becomes something that you do whenever you think that you need some sort of special conversion experience. You're not much older than me. I bet you remember when you were in high school or college going to the Christian rock concert, and then they had the altar call at the end of the Christian rock concert.
And, every single one of them, yeah.
Yeah, and you accepted Jesus into your heart 5 or 6 times a year. That's what I did when I was in high school and I went to those things. I think baptism fills that niche among many Christians who do not believe that baptism, you know, actually is a gift of God that gives all of the gifts that the Scriptures promise that it gives, and so they do it over and over and over again. And you know, the thing that is sad about that is that you would think that these people think that they are holding baptism up very highly, but what they're actually doing is they're saying that the first baptism didn't work. God didn't do it right, and so because I'm uncertain of what God did then, I have to fill in the gap with all of this extra stuff, all of these things that follow that they think are baptisms but actually aren't anything at all because God got it done the first time.
This is kind of returning to something we were talking about before the break, and I want you to explain what Luther is talking about here. This is a quote from him in the Large Catechism where he writes, "Baptism is quite a different thing from all other water. This is not because it's of its natural quality, but because something more noble is added here, God himself stakes his honor, his power, and his might on it." You were talking earlier about God's name. Is that getting at what is encompassed by God's name?
Yeah. Luther is definitely thinking about the name of God when he talks about his honor and his might. The text I'm working on for my sermon this coming week is from Ezekiel, where Ezekiel says that God is not going to redeem his people for their sake, but for the sake of his name. And what, you know, what this name stuff gets at is when God puts his name on us, we, like it or not, become his representatives in the world. And so if God puts his name on us and then just kind of shoves us out into the world and leaves us completely on our own to our own devices, then what's God going to look like in the world? Well, he's not going to look very good at all. He's going to be someone who is associated with, you know, the horrible, rotten, miserable people that we all are in our sinful flesh. So because God puts his name on us and attaches his reputation to us, what does he do? He forgives our sins. He gives us new life in him. He strengthens us through his word. He gives us all of the gifts that we need in order to represent him in the world. Because baptism puts God's name on us, God is very, very serious about the care that he gives to us as his children. And that is why it is the joy of our Heavenly Father to forgive our sins for the sake of Christ. It is his joy to pour out all of his wrath on Jesus so that he can pour out all of his mercy on us. And we receive all of those gifts in that water, which is filled with the Word of God. And the Word of God that it's filled with is the name of God.
So it's not just that God puts his name on us, but that that name itself is able to give all those gifts that you talked about?
Yeah. I think that that's a really good way to think about it. God's name is not just, you know, letters on a page. You know, it's not just a sound in the ear. God's name is filled with, you know, actually who he is. Think of the name that Jesus chose for himself before he took flesh from his mother's womb. Jesus means the Lord saves. And so, you know, if we have that name on us, and we have that name on us in baptism, and we have that name on us in that we're called Christians, if we have that name on us, we are marked as one whom the Lord has saved. And if we have the name, the baptismal name on us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that means that God the Father has become our Father. And God the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And the death that Jesus died for us on the cross actually, you know, is giving us all of these gifts that he won there. All of that is given in the name.
So that helps explain why it is Scripture can speak of baptism as both birth, new birth, or birth from above, and also adoption, because both of those really have to do with God making children, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Baptism is birth into the Christian church. I think it was St. Cyprian who famously said, "No one can have God as their father unless they have the church as their mother." And even though baptism isn't mentioned in that, that's what Cyprian was talking about. He was talking about that in baptism, God becomes our father and the church becomes our mother. Baptismal fonts are often in the way that the early church fathers speak, they're kind of spoken of as the womb of the church. It's where Christians are born. And you get a hint of this even in the way that Luther's small catechism is arranged, because the last three chief parts are basically the gifts that God gives to Christians so that they can live their life in this world. It starts with baptism, that's when you're born. Then it goes to absolution, which is the life of daily repentance that every Christian, you know, lives. And then the Lord's Supper is the nourishment, the food that we need in order to live our lives. That's why I always tell people when they are having their children baptized that once a baby's born, you want to make sure they get fed. You want to make sure that they receive all of the gifts that God has for them so that the faith that is given in baptism does not die.
So someone who says baptism is something I do for God, in addition to all the other ways that that is backward, could not possibly make any sense of baptism as rebirth or adoption, because children don't adopt parents. Children don't give birth to parents. It's parents who give birth and adopt children.
That's exactly right. I'm pretty sure my daughter was fairly happy where she was before she was born. I don't think she very much wanted to come out. But my wife's body decided it was time for the baby to be born. And so it happened. And so she was born, and then a couple weeks later, she was brought to the font, and she was born a second time. She was very, very angry with me all day long after that. And I think the only thing that helped her get through is I told her that I'd never do it again.
Pastor Charles Lehman is our guest. We're beginning a four-part weekly series on baptism today. What is it? It's Wednesday afternoon, May the 8th. Pastor Charles Lehman is a regular guest, pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Three Forks, Montana, and Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Belgrade, Montana. He's author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for May. It's called Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. You can find out all about this resource at our website, issuesetc.org, or give Concordia Publishing House a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask about The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for May, Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. We'll be right back. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues, Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues, Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues, Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues, Etc. 300.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
How would you like to attend a conference and hear Rod Rosenblatt, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, Al Schmidt, Suzanne Venker, and Todd Wilkin? You're invited to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
Final stanza of the baptism hymn, See This Wonder in the Making. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We're talking about baptism, beginning a four-part weekly series with Pastor Charles Lehman. Charles, we were talking before about the name of God, and you say that it's not just a name that is put upon us to identify us, but it's also a name that is given to us to use. What is the proper use of this name that God has put on us in baptism?
Well, I think we get the first answer to that question in Luther's explanation to the second commandment when he says that we should call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. In the early church, we know quite a bit about how baptism was practiced at St. Augustine's congregation. And one thing we know about what happened there is that one of the first ways in which a Christian would use God's name after they were baptized would be simply in the praying of the Lord's Prayer, which they didn't even get to learn or hear until about a week before they were baptized. They got to start memorizing it. And the reason for that is that it was a very real thing in the minds of the early church fathers that in baptism, God adopts you as his child. And so the reason why they waited to teach the Our Father to a to someone until they were baptized is because they wanted that newly baptized Christian to be able to rejoice in the fact that now God really was their Father. And so the way in which we use the name of God in our baptism is in calling upon God on the basis of the relationship he's established through that water.
You also spent some time talking about something that usually comes at the end of a Christian worship service on Sunday morning, and that is this trifold blessing in God's name. Why is that important to note in connection with baptism?
Yeah, in number six, God gives Moses what we usually think of as the Aaronic benediction, because Aaron was the one who first spoke this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's what we hear at the end of the service. But if you read in number 6, 22 and following, you'll find that after God gives Moses the words that Aaron is to speak, God makes this promise. He says, "Thus shall I put my name on my people, and I will bless them." And so this benediction, which speaks God's name, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, three times in Hebrew, that's Yahweh, God's name, actually puts the name on his people, and he blesses them. And in the daily sacrifices in the temple, if I understand this correctly, these are the words that you would hear spoken by the high priest after all the daily sacrifices had been offered and the sins of God's people had been forgiven. This was what the priest would come out and say to the people who were gathered there so that they would know that their relationship with God had been restored by blood, and that he was going to ratify that reality by putting his name on them.
Are the name and the blessing two separate things?
The blessing is in the name. God cannot possibly put his name on anything without blessing it. God cannot possibly put his name on anything without claiming it as his own and having it be the most precious thing imaginable to him. God puts his name on those whom he loves. The analogy that I constantly use for this is the movie Toy Story. There's a scene where Andy writes his name on the bottom of Buzz Lightyear's foot, and Woody looks at the bottom of his foot and sees that the name is all scuffed up, and he's sad because he thinks that now Andy loves Buzz more than he loves him. And by the end of the movie, he finds out that that's not true, that Andy loves all those on whom he has put his name. And I think that that's not the worst way in the world for us to think of baptism. God's putting his name on us just like we put our names on those things which are precious to us.
Well, that brings us back to the institution, the Jesus institution of baptism, because it's not just however we want to name God or however we might think of God, but it is a very particular name that he gives along with baptism, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Talk about that, if you would, Charles.
Well, I think that, you know, in the institution of baptism, Jesus kind of puts the bow on what has been revealed over the past several thousand years throughout the Scriptures. I mean, There's nothing in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that you don't hear all through the Old Testament, all through the Gospel of Matthew up until that point. God often uses, terminology like that to refer to himself in various places. But this name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is put on us in baptism, reveals a lot about who God actually is. St. Augustine put this in a rather beautiful way. He said that when we think of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we should think about the Father and the Son having this eternal relationship that has no beginning and no end. The Father has always been Father. The Son has always been Son. And the Son receives all that he is from his Father, and the love that is shared between the Father and the Son is himself a person, and that person is the Holy Spirit.
So coming back around to where we began, just to be quite honest about it, it doesn't seem like it's possible to make sense of everything that the Bible has to say about baptism, from the most basic thing of Christ's institution to all of the ways that baptism is extolled as God's work, if one understands baptism as something less than the pure and gracious gift of God, if it becomes something that we do for God or a mere ritual or a kind of a hollow activity. None of those passages would make any sense, would they, Pastor Lehman?
No, not at all. And I think we can hardly blame Christians who have been taught that baptism is something that they do. I think we can hardly blame them for not thinking much of baptism. If baptism is something that you do, well, then it goes in the category of all of the other things that you do. And we know ourselves well enough, when we are being honest at least, to know that there's nothing that we do that has any permanence. There's nothing that we do that you can count on for all eternity. There's nothing that we do that we would want to stake our eternal destiny on, because, we're fickle, we're sinful, our emotions are changing from moment to moment. Even the very best things that we do, the most seeming permanent things that we do, crumble away. So we can have no certainty about baptism if it's what we do, but if it's what God does for us, then everything in the Scriptures makes perfect sense and doesn't need to be explained at all. You can simply rejoice in what the Scriptures say and be at peace.
Pastor Charles Lehman is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Three Forks, Montana, and Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Belgrade, Montana. He's authored the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for May, Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. Next week, we'll have Charles answer the question, what does baptism do? Charles, thanks for being our guest.
It's a joy.
In hour two of Issues, Etc. this Wednesday afternoon, Pastor Ryan Fairman, Pastor Kirk Clayton will join us as our pastor's roundtable. We'll be in John chapter 15, talking about the hatred and the persecution of the world that Jesus' disciples are in for. Folks, we just received registrations from two more Canadian listeners. I think we got six listeners in all that are so far registered to come to the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, including people from the United States, Wisconsin, West Virginia, Tennessee, Pennsylvania, Ohio. Oh, is that Nevada, Nebraska, Missouri, and Illinois, Iowa, the list goes on. People coming to the Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference, June the 14th and the 15th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. It'll kind of be a meeting of Lutherans and listeners from all over the place on June 14th and the 15th. Some of the best guests, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, Pastor Will Whedon, Chris Roseborough, Suzanne Venker, Dr. Alvin Schmidt, I'll be speaking as well. Registration for the conference, for the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, is $100 per person. You can register online, issuesetc.org. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference and register. You can even pay online. If you need a little help, give Craig a call, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, and he will help you register for the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, Friday, June the 14th and Saturday, June the 15th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking about what Jesus says is in store for his disciples, and it doesn't sound good. Now, this is even before he goes to suffer, even before he goes to die, even before he rises again and ascends into heaven. He is telling you now beforehand. He says, I don't want you to fall away. This is why I'm telling you, so that you don't fall away. And the news is not good. It's being put out of synagogues. It's so bad that when people hurt them, harm them, even put them to death, Jesus says, they will think they're doing service to God. It's Pastor's Roundtable, an hour or two of Issues Etc. We'll talk about the hatred of the world right after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.